Hello, good morning. It's great to be back at Brigham Young University. Wonderful place, so
vui có mặt tại Đại học Brigham Young University.
And it's wonderful to be here with all my learned friends, new and some that I made when I was here 3 years ago. I hope you can all hear me.
Tôi hy vọng là mọi các quý vị có thể nghe giọng tiếng nói tôi. Hôm nay tôi muốn bắt đầu với một lời giới thiệu
challenges and practices in Australia.
Về những khuynh hướng thách thức và thực hành ở nước Australia, nước Úc.
Australian society has never been more religiously diverse.
Hỏi ở nước Úc không bao giờ đa dạng nhiều hiện tại. Có hơn 12 triệu người.
Christianity,
có những tôn giáo là Phật giáo, Hội giáo,
đạo Ấn Độ
và những tôn giáo Kitô giáo.
And this year, a number of
anti-religion
groups have banded together to campaign on billboards and
nhau.
Buses across the country to encourage people to vote no
religion
in this year's census. That is to describe themselves as belonging to the no religion category. This census just took place in August. The results have not yet been published.
Điều tra dân số mà đang xảy ra ở nước Úc.
Sự
gia tăng trong những tôn giáo thì biểu tượng với một liên minh giữa những tôn giáo để gia tăng.
Like Christopher Hitchens, Richard Dawkins,
Michael Shermer, chào đón những người nói chuyện.
The freedom to be irreligious is normally not an issue in Australia since no one is disenfranchised.
Những người mà không thuộc tôn giáo không phải là một vấn đề ở nước Úc thì thường thường là những người là thuộc một tôn giáo nào đó.
Hiện
hữu của tôn giáo ở trong cộng đồng.
Ron Williams 2009 case against the Commonwealth of
Australia in which he opposed the federal government's funding khi đã có một đàn ông mà đứng đấu với chính trị ở nước Úc về những tự do tôn giáo.
$222 million had been provided to the NSCP funding which has been endorsed by both sides of parliament.
The outcome đó thì đã có những số tiền và quỹ tiền được cung cấp cho Quốc hội
was to actually increase the funding for chaplaincy in schools,
but sự giảng dạy của những người giáo sĩ tại những đại học.
This is one case of religious freedom in Australia being challenged by the growing body of outspoken religion critics who want to see the public square an entirely free zone. A religion
đã có một trường hợp khi có sự thử thách mà đứng đấu với sự tự do tôn giáo ở nước Úc.
The same groups have also agitated for the removal of the Lord's Prayer before the sitting of Parliament. And most recently,
có những người mà muốn cất lấy lời cầu nguyện của Chúa mà được tìm ở sách Kinh Thánh khỏi sự mở đầu của Quốc hội ở nước Úc.
The absolute separation of church and state,
chia cách ở giữa nhà nước và tôn giáo,
actually runs counter to the
historical support. Thực sự là trái ngược sự lịch sử của mối quan hệ giữa hai bên trong lịch sử của nước Úc.
Having allocated them funds in education budgets.
Trước là nhà nước ở nước Úc đã cung cấp những quỹ tiền cho những trường học mà giảng dạy
but also on financial grounds, alleging that private schools are privileged, do not need the money, while public schools are in need of the
language.
While there certainly are privileged private schools, it's also true that in Australia there are a great many religious schools that are not
affiliated with the church, especially in the Catholic school system. Thì không cần quỹ tiền từ chính phủ, bởi vì những trường hợp như vậy thì là đặc biệt và riêng tư.
A fair and multi-religious society. Most of the beneficiaries of this would say it is working well. However,
một việc để làm cho sự công bằng ở những trường hợp như vậy.
When everyone was talking about evolution a few years ago, the concern was expressed about small private schools that Christian private schools that taught creationism and creation science. Today, with the proliferation of Muslim schools established
with seed money from Saudi Arabia and other Arab states, concern is expressed about the influence their patrons have on the ethos of the schools.
The inculcation of severe dress codes, for example, which see young prepubescent girls wearing the hijab, a garment that is normally only required for young women, is indicative of a trend among Muslim schools. The same, however, could also be said of the Hasidic ultra-Orthodox Jewish schools, which also encourage strong boundaries of separation between them and the rest of society. Dress codes are a flashpoint right now in Australia, a country that ironically is very relaxed about dress. The growing conservatism of young Muslims, a trend experienced in Australia as much as elsewhere, is generating conflict on both sides of the equation. Australia is the land of the fair go, and on the whole, it has not seen many public stoushes around matters of dress, but when they do happen, they have been very serious. The wearing of the hijab, for example, has not raised the ire of people in general.
Đội khăn trên đầu cũng có tạo ra một vấn đề nào ở giữa những người Hồi giáo ở nước Úc.
To remove her burqa in a court of law to give evidence in a criminal case. After much wrangling, the court did force her to comply in a private hearing. Ai đã có một phụ nữ mà từ chối
cởi ra khăn trên đầu khi đến một tòa án,
refused to remove her facial covering and then falsely accused the policeman of racism. As the whole encounter was captured on video,
đã từ chối cởi khăn trên đầu.
The judge, however, decided to throw away the case on the grounds that he could not be sure that the woman was the right woman, given that she was not able to be identified.
Giữa những tôn giáo,
this wisdom of Solomon ruling forced the issue of identification, which is key in any court case. It led to the state of New South Wales government ruling that burqas would have to be removed for police to make a proper identification.
Chính trị it also prompted miền Nam, one New South Wales parliamentarian, South Wales, Fred Nile, to call for a ban of the burqa based on security reasons primarily, which to date has not received
nếu
parliamentary support. Có cảnh sát mà cần chọn và thấy là người nào đang bị bắt bởi cảnh sát thì phải cởi khăn đội trên đầu.
Bombers and terrorists who have joined forces overseas, such as the convert David Hicks, who spent time in Guantanamo Bay prison before being extradited to serve his time in Australia. We've had wannabe terrorists, such as the Algerian cleric Abdel Nasser Bambrika, the convicted spiritual leader of a group of men who drew up plans, wrote manuals, and amassed explosives
cố gắng để phá hoại những người khác và làm những việc khủng bố.
The home of the Australian Atomic Energy Commission,
à, một vấn đề bởi vì có những người mà đổi khăn trên đầu mà đôi khi thuộc vào
the iconic heart of Australia's premier city.
And being so close to Indonesia, the home of the terrorist organization Jemaah Islamiyah,
who perpetrated the Bali bombing on October 12th, 2002, which left 202 people dead, 88 of them Australians, and also with the presence of Indonesian people smugglers enabling weekly boatloads of illegal Muslim migrants to Australian shores, these do have a cumulative effect of concern, not only about where the next bomb will come from, but about the loss of control over the sovereign laws of the nation concerning immigration. The prominence of Islam in the current media coverage about religious freedom has another dimension as well. How much does Islam restrict religious freedom? government-funded religious pluralism through multicultural bodies,
đa dạng state and federal được cung cấp bởi chính trị,
now celebrates practices that were once considered oppressive to women, and Australians fought hard to overturn. Thus, women who are living under particularly extreme Wahhabist
được thực hành những sự việc mà hồi trước đây đã được là phân biệt người nữ người nam,
áp bức, are rarely subject to critique in what has become an ultra-sensitive environment. Muslim women reformers in Australia
Hội giáo cũng là một người cải cách.
However, there are visiting Muslim women reformers who come occasionally,
but they are usually the guests of non-Muslim conferences. A PhD student at the University of Western Australia, Carol Kaplan, is examining the extent
of family practices in Muslim communities which violate Australian laws. These include female genital mutilation, underage marriage, kidnapping, polygamy, and honor crimes in Australia. She is also acting as a liaison to the Western Australian Police Force. In an interview with me on the spirit of things,
she told me that these practices are profoundly cultural
and are not solved simply by recourse to the law. It will only be changed through re-education.
Là cách xén là bộ phận sinh dục của phụ nữ và những việc khác mà có được làm, có bị làm cho những phụ nữ Hồi giáo
phù hợp với luật pháp
cương và quốc tế.
Nữ
mà đã ra khi có những người đàn ông mà đã đánh,
ám dũng, I've said it before and I'll say it again. There's no place in Australia for Sharia law, full stop. But Sharia law is already being practiced in Australia. An article in the upcoming issue of the University of New South Wales Law Journal reports that
Sharia
because Sharia has
cũng
long
được
operated
áp dụng
mà,
ở những
in
luật
the
pháp
unofficial
địa phương,
realm, quote, không the wider phải là chính thức ở nước Úc. Community has been oblivious to the legal pluralism that forms in this country. This is particularly so in relation to polygamy. The spokesman for the Sydney Lebanese Muslim
cũng
community
đã có một nhóm mà đa hôn mà thực hành
polygamy in a public talk at the Opera House. Jamila Hussein, a lecturer in Islamic law at the University of Technology, said, quote, some people just have a religious marriage rather than a secular
một số người mà có một sự kết hôn tôn giáo chứ không phải là có một
religious authority. This, of course, has other implications. Divorce is easily initiated by the man, and this would not necessarily grant custody of the children to the mother, since Islam grants custody to the father at a predetermined age. So far, I've mentioned secular challenges to religious freedom.
Như là một ví dụ là khi có một ba mẹ mà ly dị thì là theo Hội giáo thì là người ba chịu trách nhiệm giữ con của mình.
Australia has racial vilification legislation in place at the federal level, and it was used successfully in the case of Frederick Tobin, a South Australian who used the internet to promote racial hatred against Jews.
After pursuing legally for 10 years, Jeremy Jones, on behalf of the Executive Council of Australian Jewry, was successful in having Tobin
prosecuted for his website, which denied the Holocaust and vilified the Jewish people. He was found to be in breach of the Racial Discrimination Act.
Trường hợp khi đã có một người mà lập một trang web về mà kèm pha những người Do Thái và đã từ chối mà đã có của những người Do Thái trong chiến tranh thế giới thứ hai.
Against Catch the Fire Ministry, alleging that the latter held seminars which vilified Islam. The seminars in question were three lectures given by Daniel Scott and on the issue of jihad. Initially convicted of vilifying Islam, Scott and Danny Nalia, the founder of Catch the Fire Ministry, appealed. And on the 14th of December 2006, the Supreme Court of Victoria upheld the appeal and ordered that the matter be re-decided without hearing new evidence
by Judge of the Victorian Civil
and Administrative Tribunal. The Islamic Council of Victoria was ordered to pay half of Scott's and Nalia's legal costs of the appeal. The Act is still in force, but it's claimed that it doesn't actually improve relations between groups, but exacerbates them, encouraging division rather than an open exchange of ideas. Regardless of remedies which may be sought after the fact, the experience of religious persecution cannot be wholly prevented. Among the small Jewish community in Australia, which numbers about 100,000, which is
of 1%, there is a growing unease.
Jewish businesses are targeted for destruction, graffiti and protests. Orthodox Jews have been attacked on the street because of their obvious
different
appearance.
Ở những khu vực Do Thái đã có những người mà sơn lên những tòa nhà và những bức tượng, những điều mà nói xấu.
Australia are heavily guarded and no Jewish event takes place from visiting speakers to the weekly Sabbath services.
Trường hợp Do Thái được bảo vệ với những người mà bảo vệ cho sự an toàn của những người học sinh.
Under the banner of anti-Israel actions, but they have gone far beyond a political protest. Indeed, the anti-Israel obsession is so far out of proportion to the actual situation in Israel and the Palestinian territories,
and so far in excess of the situations taking place nước Israel, around the world,
such as in Africa and in Muslim countries, that the targeting of Jews is transparently a case of religious persecution. Such activity includes Sydney University Muslim Students Association distributing extremely anti-Semitic material in their orientation day packets, and another organization making mail drops in suburbs of equally extreme anti-Semitic material of the kind that was produced by the Nazi propagandist Joseph Goebbels. This occurs despite the involvement of high-level members of the Jewish community in interfaith organizations, events, and programs. Together for Humanity, a leading interfaith organization that brings members of different faiths to schools and small towns across the country for workshops on religious understanding and tolerance, is headed by a young Hasidic Jewish rabbi who is passionate about working together with other faiths, especially Muslims. Together for Humanity, is founded with a generous donation from the late Stella Cornelius, a Jewish woman who lost many of her family in the Holocaust. Today, the red button issue of religious freedom is Islam.
Người lãnh đạo Do Thái có đóng vai lớn ở nước Úc để tạo ra sự tự do tôn giáo và có lòng khoanh dung mà những tôn giáo khác nhau.
Way of life and rule of law. Yet cults continue to challenge the laws of our country, except for ex-members and support groups such as the Cult Information and Family Services, which is about to have a briefing conference in our nation's capital shortly. Few people know about it. Scientology is the exception. It's been in the news recently with one of our independent senators from South Australia, Nick Xenophon, hoping to challenge its status as a religion and thereby remove its tax privilege status. This has proved very unpopular, as parliamentarians are loath to restrict religious activity, given the protection of religion detailed in Section 116 of our Constitution. Even when all the evidence points to Scientology operating as a business, there is little will to remove the status of religion it achieved in 1973.
Để cho họ là phải cho thuế.
A final report of the Fair Work Ombudsman found Scientology treated employees as if they were as if they were volunteers and paid them $10 a week and found it potentially breached the laws relating.
Đạo khoa học đã có những người mà có những người mà làm việc cho tổ chức của họ, nhưng không trả tiền cho họ nhiều lắm. Khoảng 10 đầu tuần, trở thành cái những...
This has been nowhere more evident than in the Catholic Church, but it is certainly not limited to it. Apart from the immeasurable human cost, the monetary cost continues to build, and the Maitland-Newcastle Catholic Diocese recently paid $13 million in compensation to the victims of two child sex abusers. There has been no government call to lift the ban of secrecy of the confessional, as has been proposed by the Irish government. However, as of mid-August this year, the Attorney General of the State of Victoria is considering whether an investigation into sexual abuse in the Catholic Church of Victoria is warranted in relation to the extensive abuses discovered in the Diocese of Ballarat. Generally speaking, the issue of religious freedom in Australia comes to light in a case-by-case manner.
Và tùy theo trường hợp nào và có sự khác biệt từ từng trường hợp
speaks on behalf of religious freedom since alienation if not suspicion among Australia's religious communities prevents them from banding together. Besides, each religious community has different battles to fight.
If anything, the September 11th anniversary this year demonstrated how far the Muslim population in Australia promoted itself in the general population through community events.
There is one community that I have not mentioned.
The over 500,000
Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Australians. The issue of religious freedom is a vexed one, given the controversial use of customary law, which has been sanctioned in some cases in the Northern Territory by the Northern Territory government.
While Torres Strait Islanders are generally Christian and would not employ customary law as a rule,
Aboriginal Australians, especially in the townships and remote communities, do.
Yet, even they are divided
on whether this law is desirable, given its brutal nature based on the principle of payback. There are also customary practices which endanger children and women, which Aboriginal leaders like the full-blood Walpiri woman Bess Nungiari Price have campaigned against. When it comes to such practices as sanctioned by notions of religious freedom, she would be the first to want to restrict such freedoms. And she is a supporter of the government's intervention in other ways, such as the limiting of alcohol, the linking of welfare payments to the education of children, etc. Fundamentally, the issue of religious freedom can never be approached as an unlimited value, so long as religions inculcate attitudes and practices that conflict with the cherished values of our free society, such as equality between men and women, the rights of children, freedom of conscience, movement, and association, harmony between groups, and most especially the rule of law. Thank you.